If you will be so kind as to grab your Bible with me this morning and turn to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 9. Book of 2 Samuel chapter 9. Again, happy Memorial Day. You say, well, I don't know how happy one can be. Again, the sacrifice was by choice, friend. The sacrifice to allow us to live free was by choice of individuals who gave that ultimate sacrifice so that we might live free. And by Jesus Christ, who willingly laid down his life so that we might live free. Amen. So yes, it is a celebration this morning. Amen. If you have 2 Samuel chapter 3, or 9, and you'd stand with me this morning for the reading of God's Word. And 2 Samuel chapter 9, if you look with me, beginning in the first verse, our Bible says, "And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when he had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Michar, the son of Emiel, in Lodabar. The king sent and fetched him out of the house of Michar, the son of Emiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for who? Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Memorial Day weekend, Lord God. We're thankful for the memories, the time that we've had, Lord God, with so many loved ones, Lord God, who have fallen, Father, in the line of service so that we might share and hold the freedoms in which we do. Lord God, I pray again for just comforting of hearts for so many, Lord God, who have an empty and a void in that very heart this morning, Lord God, because of that sacrifice. Lord, I ask for your power and your unction this morning as we preach your word. And Lord God, I pray that you'd be willing to hide me behind the cross and, Lord God, your abilities this morning, so that, Father, as you use me as a vessel willing to be used, that I can proclaim your word and the message you have for your people, Lord God, that you may be honored and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me just ask a quick question. Where might you have been if Jesus would not have found you? Where would you be this morning? And may I remind you, as I usually do, okay? Friend, I didn't find Jesus. He wasn't lost. He found me. I was the one who was lost. Amen? I mean, how often do you think about where you might have been if Jesus would not have found you wandering around one day, looking for a way back to the farm, if you will, in a spiritual sense, the plantation? Because, friend, listen to me. I enjoy being a bondservant of my master. Amen. Amen? I enjoy the comforts of his plantation. Amen? Where might you be today without Jesus? And it doth us well, you know, in lieu of the fact that in a number of weeks we will be celebrating as a nation 250 years of existence. That's actually young in comparison to many of the civilizations of the world. But it is one in which we celebrate 250 years, listen to me, of the greatest free man experiment ever known to man. There's ever or never prior to been anything like the democracy of the United States of America. There hath never been of totality and freedom and earnestness that we find in the United States of America. Friend, I love America. I am thankful to be an American this morning. I know we have our problems. I know we have our difficulties. But friend, as any nation does and any circumstance will, we are the greatest nation on the face of the planet. I make no apologies when I say that. Okay? I'm not downplaying or being condescending to any other nations, but ladies and gentlemen, I feel and believe that in all of my heart and every ounce of my vessel, I believe that United States is the greatest nation in the world. Amen. I believe that the United States of America is the greatest nation of all history of the world. Amen. Okay? A wise individual once said, never forget where you come from. Might just save you from where you could end up. Do we remember where we came from? The celebration of 250 years is what? It is just that. It is remembering where we came from. You know, as I shared in Sunday school, and I just kind of gave a little bit of a preliminary, but friend, listen, we were farmers with pitchforks. And we rose against the mightiest army on the face of the planet. Okay? When we rose up against the nation and the empire of Britain, listen, they were the most powerful nation in the world. We had no chance. We had no opportunity, if you will, to gain that freedom that so many sought. And may I remind you the origins, the purpose, the reason in which pilgrims loaded up upon a Mayflower and a, what was the other one, Cinta? Santa Maria, I'm sorry, Nina Santa, yeah, exactly, amen, I should know that, forgive me, but they loaded those ships and they made that vast journey across the Atlantic, friend, for freedom to worship. As I shared a number of weeks ago, the message of antinomian antiquity, ladies and gentlemen, they were pilgrims. Not Puritans. They were separatists. And they came searching for freedom to worship Jesus Christ. Amen? We're thankful for that. But as an American, and as America, now we look back upon 250 years since our inception. And for what purpose? To remember where we came from. To remember and catalog the memories that made us a nation. Amen? Another once said, don't forget where you come from or you will never be able to remember where you're going. Amen. We must always remember where we came from. And as I thought about what would be appropriate for a message today concerning Memorial Day, and I many times have given you dialogue on what Memorial Day represents and where its origin started and obviously all of the statistics behind it. And I've related it categorically and metaphorically to the Word of God. But this morning I wanted to draw our attention to something a little bit different, seeing that we're edging up upon 250 years of the inception of the United States. And that being, do we remember where we came from? Because unfortunately, in many aspects, you look around and we are not even an element of what we used to be. Okay? I'm not here by any means to be negative this morning, but we realize that there is obviously an empowering force that is trying to take away the history of the United States. Amen. See, if we never allow ourselves to forget where we've come from, we will always remember where we have been and therefore understand how we are going to get to where we are going. Folks, when individuals begin to forget where they come from, they begin to change as a person. Their values begin to alter and their character will begin to lack. I personally believe it is that important, friend, remembering where we came from. I want to use scripture this morning and show you how a king that did not forget where he came from initially. I said initially. And it was displayed in his actions, his attitude toward the people and the descendants of those people who had not only helped him get to where he was, but loved him along the way and during the journey. This same King David, I believe in my opinion, did allow himself, though, at a point in time, to forget where he came from at one point in time. And friend, listen to me, it hurt him. I'd like to expose the actions that followed, not for negativity, but rather for a manner of teaching all of us a lesson this morning concerning the result of such actions. Actions of what? Forgetting where we came from. Amen. And you may say, well, why do you feel so compelled to preach such a message this morning, preacher? Again, for the sake of what we're trying to remember as a nation, what we're celebrating as a nation as we edge forward to our 250th birthday. But some of you were in Sunday school last week, and I shared with you a childhood memory of a man who was very dear to me, a man who took me hunting, fishing, spent time with me to do the things a boy needs to have done, and the things the boy enjoys to do. I shared with you that individual never accepted, to my knowledge, Jesus Christ. And that grieves me. And I did try, and I know others had tried. But I shared with you some of the memories of my Uncle Gary. Uncle Gary and I spent a great deal of time together. Uncle Gary was like a father to me. Two of my uncles, Uncle Gary and Uncle Harold, they were the ones who took me out hunting. They were the ones who took me to a stream fishing. They were the ones who, you know, would come pick me up on the weekends and we'd go do boy things. I will always remember my Uncle Gary. I always remember my Uncle Harold. Uncle Harold is still living, but my Uncle Gary passed. And still to this day, do I have any knowledge that he ever accepted Jesus Christ. But friend, all that to say this, it sparked the very thing I'm going to speak of this morning. Because we can't forget where we came from. We can't forget the things that brought us to where we are. Amen. In 1860, Lady Elgin was rammed by the Augusta and sank in Lake Michigan near Evanston, Illinois. A ministerial student named Edward Spencer waded again and again into the frigid waters to rescue passengers. In the process, his health was permanently damaged. Some years later at his funeral, it was noted that not one of the people that he waded out over and over again into those frigid waters to save their lives that day ever returned to thank him. Friend, when you forget where you come from, you forget what it is you're grateful for. Amen. You see, when we forget where we've come from, forgetting to be thankful will quickly follow, and before long, an entitlement mentality will surely follow. Say entitlement mentality, preacher. What do you mean by that? Entitlement mentality that believes the world and God who created it owes me something. Rather than living my life fully aware that God has been so good to me and I must be cautious to never forget where God brought me from and how undeserving I am to where it is that he's taken me to and where it is that he would like to take me to in the future. If you'd grant me a few moments this morning of your time, I also say even a little hidden part of your heart this morning, I'd like to preach a message that will help each and every one of us if we wrap our heads around it this morning. I've titled it, Beholden Bedrock of a Basic Barterer. Beholden Bedrock of a Basic Barterer. Listen, when we are to a point where we've had some progress from the worthless state of individual, listen, I was before Jesus Christ found me, and now I've graduated to, I guess you'd say sorry at best, but to a place where I can actually be used of God if I remember to keep him first and understand that who I am and what I am is simply because he loved me enough to care enough even when I didn't deserve it. May I remind you of the passage of Scripture we find in Romans chapter 5 where it tells us that but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, and much more, being reconciled, who shall be saved by his life? I didn't deserve that. And he did that for me, Brother Caleb, before I was anything worthy. And I'm certainly not worthy today, but I'm a little bit more worthy because I've cleaned up a little bit because he took time through his Spirit to clean me up a little bit. Amen? I need to be grateful for that. I need to be understanding of that. And listen, we don't glamorize the past life of the things that we are ashamed of. However, when we take time to remember where we've come from and what God did to bring me up out of that miry clay, it helps me be grateful of where I am and have a greater vision of where I'm going. And folks, if I'm going to keep that amazing gift in its proper perspective, there's something that I must always do. You see, the first beholden bedrock of a basic barter is number one, remember to return. It said, remember to return. Look at the heart of David back when David's heart was right. I need you to back up just a few verses here from our text this morning. I want to point out this to you so you can understand where I'm coming from. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 8 this morning. Maybe back a page in your Bible this morning. I pray, thank God you use your Bible this morning. Amen. That book in your hand and precious blood's been shed for those words upon those pages. Amen? Look at 2 Samuel chapter 8 this morning. Verse 13 through 15, our Bible says, and David got him a name when he returned from smiting of the Syrians in the Valley of Salt, being 18,000 men. And he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom, he put garrisons, and all they of Edom became David's servants, and the Lord preserved David whithersoever he went. David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people. You see, David has now been established. Remember, he's been running for his life from Saul for a number of years. King Saul, who sought that life, is now dead. Okay? He's no longer hiding in the caves of Ziklag. He's no longer sleeping as a rock, as a pillow, if you will. David's been established, and he is now reigning as king of Israel. If you look at our text passage this morning, what is one of the first things David does when he arrives at that place where he is now reigning as king? He's been accepted by the entirety of Israel, including the 10 northern tribes. And if you look at verse 1 in chapter 9, it tells us, and David said, what's the first thing? I want to rejoice. I want to go out on a drunken stupor. I want to have a party. Let's have a feast. He says, no. He said, is there any left of the house of Saul, that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Is that I remember my friend. I remember how I got here. You know, if it weren't for Jonathan, I'd probably not be here today. If it weren't for Jonathan, I'd probably be a dead man today. Is there any alive, seeing that Jonathan is no longer alive, to which I can show kindness out of respect of what Jonathan had done for me? David, who is now king and literally could have nearly anything he wanted, one of the first things on his mind was remembering to return, to show the kindness to the people, or in this case, a descendant of people who had gotten him to the place in which he was. You remember how Jonathan, Saul's son, was always sticking up for David while the anger and hatred of Saul, his father, grew? I mean, do you remember that it was Jonathan who shot those arrows in the field to warn David that his father was trying to kill him? Do you remember when Jonathan took off his robe of royalty and placed it upon David, recognizing and submitting that David was to be the next ruler of the people? Not Jonathan, even though Jonathan himself was technically next in line of the lineage to be king. Do you remember? So did David. In his heart, the first thing he does is he returns to it. I mean, if you would look back in chapter 5, as soon as the people of Israel established David to be reigning king of Israel, the very first thing he did was set out to retrieve the Ark of the Covenant and bring it back to Jerusalem, which would ultimately be its rightful place. Now, I have to move on here for sake of time, but folks, please, get this for my first thought in developing this for you this morning. As God begins to bless us because we begin to get some things figured out, and therefore, if we have any character and exercise it, we begin to see God work some amazing miracles in our lives. Not just working in our lives, but watch this, using us to work miracles in people's lives. What a blessing. Amen? What an undeserving blessing. I mean, I don't care if it's in your spiritual life. I don't care if it's in the service for the Lord. I don't care if it's in your secular job or career, your relationship to others. I mean, this concept can be applied to so many different levels of our lives, friend. Don't forget to return. Don't forget where you came from. Just like the one leper. Remember when Jesus Christ cured the 10? There was only one who returned. But friend, if you read your scripture, you'll find that there was only one who was made completely whole that day either. There were 10 cured, but there was only one that was whole. Remember to return. Secondly, listen, respect the reflection. I said respect the reflection. Folks, there is little disrespect that cuts deeper than an individual that is unwilling to acknowledge the hard work and the hours of prayer and the efforts of those important people in a person's life when they are passing out credits for escalating to the place of whatever and wherever success that person has made it to. Amen. Let me give you just an example. Again, nobody in mind. This is just from off the top of my head. But, you know, you have some backwoods hick kid, if you will, that goes off to some hotshot school, gets this impressive degree, lands an incredible job, living life in the spotlight, per se, making good money, living this life of sophistication and hobnobbing with the so-called elite. And that individual becomes, watch this, so ashamed of where they came from, their heritage, that they never mentioned the hard work of a grandpa that taught him how to fish or bale hay, dig a ditch or milk a cow, maybe fix something out of simply nothing because it needed to be fixed and you had nothing to fix it with. Do we remember the people who had impact in our life? Do we remember the things they taught us? Do we remember the time they spent with us? Those simple things in life that only hard work and years of experience can teach, friend. Lest we forget. That grandma that taught you how to make the best tasting apple pie in the holler. That mama who taught you how to sew a tear in a shirt. That old neighbor man that taught you how to skip rocks across the pond. That faithful mama or daddy, that grandma or great aunt. I prayed for you. Do we remember? Friend, you know those people who spent hours and patience given and granted only by God Himself to make and mold us to who we are today. We need to be grateful. And when we look back upon and we celebrate, bless God where He's given us the opportunity to where we are. May we remember the people and the hours and the investment that brought us to where we are. Amen. That successful businessman of the modern age, does he remember? You say, well, preacher, listen, what are you talking about? I'm nowhere near a successful businessman. Come on, folks. Work with me. This can be applied to whatever state of life you are in and whomever you are. Amen. We must remember where we come from. We must respect the reflection of those that have helped us get there. Don't ever become too proud to give honor to and proper place and honor where it is due. I shared with you my Uncle Gary. Okay? Man had a great impact in my life. Miss Judy, I drive truck today. Probably because of the influence of my Uncle Harold and my Uncle Gary. Why? Because they were heroes to me. Amen? You know, I think of my old toothless grandpa, Pap Pap. I think back of the things that man taught me through the years. I remember when he was in the nursing home in his final days, and, you know, few people would go to see him often, but every single week, at least once a week, Miss Aaron, I'd take time to go see Pap Pap. And I just sat there and listened. Pap Pap had a fresh mind. I mean, his body had withered away, and he was old, and he was crippled up, and Grandma was gone. But I'd spend hours, Brother Mark, just sitting there listening to him talk about the old days, about working on the farm and the things his daddy taught him. And my grandfather went to fifth grade three times. You know why he went to fifth grade three times? Not because he was a dumb man. But they'd put him in school at the beginning of the year, and guess what would happen just shortly thereafter? Harvest, or planting season. And they'd pull Pap Pap out of school for planting. Okay? And then when planting was all done and the farm was situated, then he'd be able to go back to school right about time to be excused for the holidays. Okay? Then a couple months into winter, guess what would happen? Or excuse me, I'm getting my time mixed up here. Fall, guess what would happen? It's time to get the crop out of the field. Guess who gets to that? Do that? Pap Pap. So they'd pull him out of school until harvest was completed. And he'd work through harvest and again, then send him back just in time for the holidays. The man never got an education. Why? Because he was always working. Amen? Because why? Because somebody had to take care of the crops. Amen? And he'd sit and he'd laugh and he'd kind of chuckle and he'd say, yep, that was my third year in fifth grade. My grandfather never graduated high school. I don't even know if my grandfather ever made it through the eighth grade. But all Brother Caleb, the wisdom, the heart and the experience. Things money can't buy. I was 11 years old. 11 years old. And our high school had a Spanish teacher, a man by the name of Mr. Lapis. I didn't know his first name. I mean, you just didn't call somebody by their first name. That's right. Mr. Lapis. Mr. Lapis hired me at 11 years old. Mr. Lapis, he was a Spanish teacher in high school. Him and his wife was a teacher in a different school district. They were both teachers, but they had a thoroughbred horse farm. And he started teaching me at the age of 11 how to work. I remember that first year, I was 11 years old, I spent with Mr. Lapis 10, 12, 14, 15-hour days every day. He said, well, you were a child. Yeah, that was back before child laws, okay? I'm showing my age. And you worked. And Mr. Lapis taught me how to work. Because when the field work was done, guess what? The horses needed attended to. And there were 12 mares in that barn, and they needed food, and they needed to put out the pasture, and they needed their stalls cleaned. And listen, when work was done, then you went home. Brother Mark, I worked for Mr. Lapis till I was 17 years of age and left home. I learned more work ethic and more understanding of work from that man than I've learned from anybody concerning work in my entire life. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget how you got here. Don't forget the things that make and mold you to who you are. Amen? I'd be nowhere near the man I am today if it weren't for individuals like this in my life. And friend, listen to me very respectfully this morning. Neither would you. Amen? I said, respect the reflection. I've given you remember to return, respect the reflection. And finally, this morning, I want to take a moment and show you what devastation is to so many who often forget to ditch the worthiness and in worthlessness, the God Almighty that pulled them out of it. Those individuals that feel they have risen above the very roots that grew them to the tree that they become. Allow me to show you David's raising to reprobation.
I said raising to reprobation. Now, when I say raising, I don't mean raising in elevation. I mean raising as in destruction, subverting, destroying, erasing. And reprobation is the act of disallowing with detestation. The act of abandoning or state of being abandoned to an eternal destruction. It means rejection. Friend, when a sinner is so hardened as to feel no remorse or misgiving of conscience, it is considered a sign of reprobation. Turn quickly to 2 Samuel chapter 11 as I bring this to a close this morning. If you flip back two chapters and look at what happens to an individual, this same King David, who was willing to show kindness to a man's son who was the enemy to Israel because he did not forget those who had helped him in his time of need. Look at verses 1 and 2, 2 Samuel chapter 11. Are you still with me this morning? The Bible says in verse 1, "And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, his servants, with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Amnon and besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." We know the story well. "It came to pass at eventide, and David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon." I want you to take notice, obviously, a passage of scripture we know very well, but two very important words in this passage I want to draw your attention to. The first being verse 1, where it says, "At the time when kings go forth to battle." And David said to Joab and his servants with him, or sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. What's the word? At that time. In other words, what was appropriate, what was usual, what was to happen, didn't. Okay? But second, look down at verse 4. "And David sent messengers and did what? Took." He didn't ask. He didn't beckon. He didn't favor. The Bible says he took her. Sent his servants and said, "Go get her. I want her." Folks, either of these actions were actions unreparable for a king. The king's reputation was to be one of honor. The king's reputation, and that which was reputable, was to be one of uprightness. He was God's man for God's people. May I remind you? You know, the same shepherd boy that God had brought forth from the sheepcote. The same individual that God had protected in the caves of Ziklag. The same king that had ran for his life for many, many years as Saul's son Jonathan looked after him and intervened for him on numerous occasions. The same King David who remembered all of those things that got him to the place where he was. But guess what? For a weak moment, for a short period of pleasure, listen to me, he forgot where he came from. And this decision, I said, this one decision, this one single act, while just at a weak moment, David forgot where he came from and acted as some kind of a power-hungry, arrogant fool, and it became catastrophic in the sequence of events that David nor his reputation would ever recover from. It was literally a raising to reprobation. Folks, listen to me. We are absolutely no different. If you personally, or we as a church, or you in your occupation, folks, you name it, it doesn't matter where, nearly every aspect of your life, if you forget where you came from and you somehow allow yourself to become high and mighty and condescending to others, it will be your raising as well. I said your destruction, I promise you. As my daddy says, and he will always be, I'm sure, remembered for many of his cliche sayings, but he always says, don't forget to dance with the one that brought you. And friend, today, church, as we look back on 250 years and we share great memories, but we share great sorrows, we share great struggles, we share great earnestness to become the nation in which we've become. And watch this, we are in a mess that we are in today because there are people walking in this freedom that they are enjoying who have forgot how we got here. And sure, I care what the world's doing, but friend, for the sake of application and my love for you, I don't care what they're doing. I care what we're doing. Lest we ever forget who we are, where we came from, and how we got here. There are lives and names that lay underneath tombstones today that will never be the same of the loved ones they left behind for the freedom that I enjoy. Amen. And friend, there's a grave that's empty today of one who also gave all and surrendered everything so that we might live free. This is a memorial day. You know what a memorial is? Time to remember. Amen. Time to remember where we came from. Time to remember how we got here. And time to become very motivated while we remember on how we're going to get to where we're going.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand this morning. You stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed. And piano player makes her way to the piano. Let me give you a quick little comical story, but it puts everything in perspective. Two friends met each other on a street one day. They haven't seen each other in a very long time. One kind of looked forlorn, almost on the verge of tears. His friend looked over and he asked him, "What's the world done to you, my old friend? What's happened?" The sad fellow said, "Well, let me tell you." He said, 3 weeks ago, my uncle died and left me $40,000. To which his friend kind of took a step back and said, "Well, buddy, that's a lot of money." Yeah, I know, he said, but you see, 2 weeks ago, a cousin that I never even knew died and left me $80,000, free and clear. His friend kind of hesitated for a moment. He said, "Wow. $40,000 3 weeks ago and $80,000 now 2 weeks ago?" He sounds to me like you've been very blessed. He said, no, you don't understand. He said, it doesn't even end there. He said, last week, a great aunt passed away and I inherited almost $250,000 from her. Now the man's friend was really confused. He said, "Friend, then why do you look so gloom?" He said, "Simple. This week, nothing." As you stand with your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, listen. We can often come to a point where we expect to get certain blessings that God never promised us. When they do not come, it's easy to get bitter because somehow we begin to think as though we had it coming to us. And God's been good to us. America's been good to us. If we ever let our mindset get out of perspective, we'll allow ourselves to forget that, and we'll get out of perspective. As the piano begins to play softly this morning, we have much to be thankful, friend.
When's the last time you bent a knee, at an old-fashioned altar just to thank the Lord? Just to thank the fallen. Just to thank those in your life who've helped mold you, make you. Remember, it's Memorial Day. We remember our fallen. It's Memorial Day. We remember sacrifices. Friend, we're here because of Jesus. And if we ever forget the great sacrifice, Jesus Christ, He was God, friend. He wasn't a creation. He wasn't a willy-nilly son. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't just some wild birth. Friend, He was God. And He gave everything so we can live. Sometimes we just have to take time to let Him know how much and sincerely we remember. Let me ask you a question. That Jesus Christ that we remember came one day, gave of Him very self at an old-fashioned altar, the cross of Calvary, to pay a sin penalty of separation from God as God the Father and the Spirit of God left Him hang alone for the penalty of our sin. He went to the grave, was buried, and on the third day rose again, ascended to the Father with the very blood He had shed at Calvary. Why? For the blood atonement, because the Scripture tells us without the shedding of blood there can be no remission. And to complete our sanctification and our solidity for salvation, He knew that that blood atonement needed to be given. Perfect blood. Blemishless blood. And as He laid it at the foot of the altar before God the Father for reconciliation of you and I, so that we might live free. And without the penalty of sin we are freed from, we are now able to ascend to Him upon a mortal death for an eternity of celestialism with Him. But there's only one way to get there, friend. The acceptance of Jesus Christ and what He has done. We don't earn it. We can't buy it. We can't do something to achieve it. Jesus Christ hath given it freely. Have you partaken of the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ? And you take me to the place where you bowed that knee or lowered that head and closed those eyes and said, Jesus Christ, I can't save myself. I'm a sinner, Lord God, and I know my sin will separate me from You forever. And I don't want to die and go to hell, Lord. Lord, because of Your grace, because of Your gift, because of what You've done, Lord God, You've made it accessible for me, and all I simply need is say yes. Are you saved this morning? Are you saved this morning from eternal damnation for your sin to a life eternal with Jesus Christ because of what He's done? If you're here this morning and you're saying to yourself, I don't know, preacher, I don't know if I fully understand all of that, and I'm not positive I've ever done it. And if I died today, I can't say by any assurity that I'm going to heaven. But if that's something someone could know, I'd sure like to know that. Well, I'd love to take the Scripture and show you what God says. If you're here this morning and there's a question, you have a doubt, please don't leave today without providing the opportunity for us to share Jesus Christ in eternal life with you. Is there one who would be willing to say, preacher, I have some questions. Like to talk with you. Is there any? Preacher, I'm a little concerned about that. My eternal security. I might like to take a moment and talk. And by your testimony and your attrition as a child of the living God, may we always be a grateful and faithful people. In Jesus' name.